This week, I'm joined by a critically acclaimed stand-up comedian. She's an accomplished writer, TV presenter, media personality, and not only that, the queen, reigning queen of the jungle, Fiona O'Loughlin. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me in here, Fifi.
Oh, this is lovely.
Reigning queen, yeah. It's only going to last till next year,
well,
isn't it?
Unless a man wins who becomes a king, you continue being reigning queen.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Well, you know, because Brendan Favola still claims he's still the reigning king.
Yes, I just had to I had to curtsy to him. I ran into him in the street the other day.
Yes.
I'm tired of curtsying.
I know. How did you do it? Because that looks like the most daunting, terrifying thing. I couldn't do it physically.
Well, I was petrified of one thing, and that was that kind of scared me more than anything. That was the spider.
Really?
So every day my heart was in my throat. I'm like, there's going to be a tarantula. Today's the day. And that day never came. So everything else was
Because you're good with heights and things that
And I lied. I said, terrified of heights, and I never mentioned the spider fear.
That's what I do. I've
I tried
said
to play them.
Of course. Did they fall for it?
Well, I don't think they fall for anything because you do forget you're in there. You know, those cameras are on all the time. And I actually think I won it because I'm joyfully dim.
No, you're not.
No, I really am in ways that I there was just no way I could continue remembering that there was a camera there.
Yeah, so you were just being yourself.
Absolutely. I had nothing to gain by being anything other than myself.
See, I think the people who win from Brendan, Fev, Casey, yourself, even Freddie Flintoff, I think he won the first one. No, you're all people that you want to be around. I think that's what it comes down to because it is. We see you 24/7. You see warts and all and you go, I'd like to be around her.
It's a human zoo, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. You're listening to Boxed In with reigning queen of the jungle, Fiona O'Loughlin. How has life changed since then? Because I think everybody, any friends that have done it, have legitimately had a life-changing epiphany coming out of there.
Oh, without a doubt, it's changed my life. It's almost an unrecognisable life in so far as work goes.
Yeah.
And it's not just the extra work and the extra, like my diary's fuller than it's ever been. But there's this extra joy of, you know, stand-ups, we fly solo. And it is a terrifying thing to do, stand-up. But then it gets incrementally easier once you have a profile. And I'm finding now that first few minutes on stage, I'm not terrified the whole time I'm on stage. It's just that waiting backstage and then you're about to begin. And I feel that an audience is one personality. So it's like, oh, who am I going to meet tonight?
Yeah.
You know? And what I've found since The Jungle is that you already have this, oh, we know who she is.
Yes, okay.
We're in safe hands.
Yep.
And then you get to play more. You get to be more yourself at another level in stand-up, which was always the dream when you're doing stand-up. I remember I was very influenced by Billy Connolly because I'd never seen a stand-up when I decided to do it. I lived in Alice Springs. I'd never met a live stand-up.
Never, ever seen? Well, that's incredible.
I know. It was crazy. And I look back now and I really honour that girl, that idiotic girl, that because this is my reality, and you'll get this, Phoebe. I had three little kids.
Yeah.
And I thought, I really want to have a crack at this because I'd been emceeing local things in Alice Springs.
Okay.
And then one day at a cabaret that I was, this is because I don't like netball. Every woman wants to get out of the house.
Yeah.
If netball was a person, I'd stab it in the eye. You know. But I'm like, I could emcee these, you know, Alice Springs had an inordinate arts scene. I was very drawn to that community, but I didn't really have an instrument. So I said, I'll emcee. So I did that for a couple of years. I was emceeing an event and there was the arts minister at the time, who's now, I think, still the president of the Liberal Party.
Oh,
his
really?
His name was Shane Stone.
Yeah.
And he said to me, you're doing stand-up. And you know, the territory doesn't have a stand-up, so why don't you apply to my office for a grant and get down to Melbourne and check it out?
Gee.
So when you live in Alice Springs, I used to save up my child endowment. Now, that's an old term.
Yeah.
That's a stipend the government used to give mothers. You're supposed to buy their school shoes with it, by the way.
Right.
And I would catch a bus.
Yeah.
From, so the first grant I got was $600. I didn't want to be greedy. I didn't know what to ask for.
Mm.
So I didn't even think to ask for enough money to catch a plane. I caught a McCafferty's bus.
Jeez.
Which is 3 days on a bus.
Yeah.
And came to Melbourne. I went to the Star and Garter, which was a really well-known comedy room. Then I saw Bob Franklin, was the first stand-up I ever
really? Saw. Really, Bob?
Yeah. And then I was bitten. So then I just kept saving up money whenever I could.
Coming down.
And coming down. I'd go down to Backpackers in Alice Springs and hire a nanny.
Yeah.
Then sit on a bus for 3 days. So jeez. All that hard stuff.
Yeah.
Now I look back at that and you're walking on the stage, they don't know who you are. You have no...
No, of course.
There's nothing about you that they trust. And it's not that, you know, they're bastards, the audiences. That it's just they want to know they're in safe hands.
You're listening to Boxed In with stand-up comedian Fiona O'Loughlin. Gap Year, your new show, is it... What can we expect? Is it from experiences from the jungle?
I definitely have a good piece of the jungle in it.
Mm.
And the gap year was a story about really the year I bottomed out. And
yeah.
It, you know, it all became too much, you know, and throw in an addiction to alcohol and life was, you know, just literally unmanageable. And I ended up homeless. And
amazing story. No, it really is. And I remember even watching you on I'm a Celeb and hearing about your near-death experience. You think this is...
Yeah.
Yeah, how can one person go through so much? What the challenges that you've overcome to then sit in a jungle...
Well, see, by the time I was in the jungle, that to me was, I'm on the happy side now.
Because, yeah.
You know, for a while I lived rough in Adelaide. I had family that would have me without a doubt. But when you're in that place, this was the first time I lost all hope, you know. I'd been searching for answers, you know, for 10 years, on and off the wagon, long periods of sobriety, but never right in the head.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until... Oh, and after the coma and that life, you know, threatening experience, that didn't turn me around immediately either. Then I, you know, a lot of people who in any length of time in ICU do have about a 60% chance of post-traumatic stress. So I was full of that, I was a bloody mess.
I can imagine.
All at my own hands that I understand now.
Yeah.
Because I understand what it is. You've got to understand what the disease is before you can. And it really did take me going to long-term rehab to really sort it all out. And that was what was so funny in the jungle. You know, I was eating a bull's testicle, but I wasn't sitting in the back seat of my parents' car, homeless at 52. And I'd rather eat 10 bull's testicles than go back to that sense of powerlessness.
Boxed In with Fifi Box.
Welcome back to Boxed In. Fiona O'Loughlin's my special guest this week. Now, Fee, you've been through a lot in the last few years. I mean, including I'm a Celebrity, being in a coma, in intensive care, a stint in rehab. How do you look back at that time now?
I remember after I got out of rehab, but I was well.
Yes. You know, how long were you in for it to really?
5 months.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. That'll do it.
Yeah, you need a fair whack of time if you were as busted as I was.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling this. It's a piece that's hard to describe, knowing that monkey is, it's never off your back, but it's contained.
Yes.
You know? Every day you decide not to drink and all you have to do is do it that day.
Mm.
But I remember being... well in the head, well in my heart, you know, the kids, you know, I had my kids back, not that they ever really left me, but I left them.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Emotionally I left them because I didn't want them to, they never saw me drink.
Yeah.
So it was always, that was very tricky, you know, I had to go underground.
I know.
God, I have made life so hard for myself. But anyway, I remember being well and I was at the bank in Collins Street. I had $14.50 in the bank. And you can't get $14.50 out of the ATM because it's got to be obviously 20.
Right.
And I remember going, I had to go, oh, God, I've got to get into the bank. And this is only the winter before the jungle.
Yeah.
And so I I went into the bank to get my $14.50 out. And I was looking at all the normal people, you know, in the bank.
Mm.
Oh, you've probably got your super organised, haven't you, and your mortgage. And isn't it wonderful to be? But I wasn't in a bad place because I knew it only gets better from here because I'd finally gotten, myself sober.
Yeah.
And I got the giggles in the bank. And I suddenly had this epiphany and I was like, wow, I'll be an old woman. Well, I'm pretty close now, but I will be able to be in that nursing home and know that I looked poverty dead in the eye and laughed at it.
Boxed in with Fifi Box.
Hi, I'm Fiona O'Loughlin and I am boxed in with Fifi Box.
I would argue most families, in fact, every Australian family has been touched by addiction.
Oh, look, there's one in every
and
family, one of
you,
us.
Though, Fee, you just go that to have that attitude. To be able to move through it, to get to the place where you are, where it's contained. And as we all know, you know, it's not a cure, it's a containment.
Yeah.
The thing I find quite interesting though is because alcohol particularly, but that is a part of the stand-up comedy lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's the challenge I imagine would be hard for you because I could imagine after 5 months in rehab going and being a cruise operator in Cairns or doing something remote to go back into the comedy clubs where you'd have the emotional attachment to, you know, alcohol was something that would be part of that.
If you go to this, and I think it's okay to say where it was.
Yeah.
It was a therapeutic community in Canberra. Called Karolika. Mm. And my life is now before Karolika and after Karolika in many ways. But once, and these people know what they're doing, these long-term rehabs are run by alcoholics themselves in remission, mm-hmm. you know. And so they know every trick in the book. So by the time you really understand this disease, and it is incumbent on someone with a disease to learn about it and to get it. And once you understand it, I could go and work in a bar.
Jeez.
And it wouldn't affect you because what it is, it's simply, and I'm doing keynote addresses at the moment about it, and I love to talk about it because for the longest time, and I did have an epiphany in the jungle, for the longest time I believed it was a weakness. Okay, and that's how society seems to be set up around alcohol. Yeah, I'm not anti-alcohol. I love it when my dad gets a bit loose, you know, and even my kids, you know, I love celebrations. It's just that particular substance for me, I have an inverse allergy to it.
Yeah.
It will kickstart, you know, if I have a drink, I will scream for more on my insides, not just, and it's physical and mental. It's like a child screaming for mother's milk.
Right.
Oh. But there's nothing. And I thought for a long time, oh, I'm weak. And a lot of us think that. And I remember I used to think that. I had an alcoholic uncle, just those glassy eyes. And I remember looking like that myself. We're there, but we're not. Oh, yeah. We're not home. We're very absent people. For society, it seems to be, oh, they can't handle it. And it's this shame and weakness. There's plenty of people, far too many people dying of things we can do nothing about, like the scourge of cancer.
Mm.
This is something we can do something about. It's a lucky disease in that sense that there is a treatment and you can live a great life.
Mm.
You know, really at the end of the day, you just can't drink. Yeah. But
and what a great note to conclude and to end the show in. Fiona, thank you so much. I've loved spending this hour with you.
So
open, so candid, so raw, and people can't get enough of you. And I love that you got that exposure in I'm a Celebrity because, you know, for people who weren't familiar with your comedy and hadn't fallen in love with you yet, they all have. And they can see you gap year. Now, that's fionao.com.au for tickets and tour dates.
Yeah.
And
that's just kind of everywhere till the end of the year.
It's great. So find Fiona near you.
Fifi Box, you're a gem.
Oh, you
such
are.
Such a beautiful listener.
Oh,
thank
I
you.
Love, I really love this. Thank you.
Cheers, darling.